this evening, we're going to take a brief look at Luke chapter 2. The kids are doing so good. I mean, we're 30 seconds into the sermon. The kids are great. So quiet. Yeah, we're excited. We do the present thing. We do a little bit of the present thing tonight, and then we do the rest of the present thing tomorrow. And you know, most of us like getting presents, but in my talking to you guys, seems to be legitimate great joy in giving people good gifts. And I've been thinking about it this past week. What is joy? Like, it's not just to be happy. We know it's different than that. It's like it, but it's different. It's deeper. It's more profound. But as I've been thinking about what it really means to have joy, it seems to come down to this idea of taking pleasure in something that is truly good. Like, joy, on some level, is delighting in and taking pleasure in something that is good. Now, when your kids or your friends or your wife, they receive a good gift from you, you get them something that, it's right on the money, it lands like it's supposed to, and they are surprised, they're excited, and they rejoice. There's a kind of joy that comes into it, right? Because they're delighting in something good. And what we try to teach our kids is that when you get presents, whether it's for your birthday or Christmas or whatever, you do not deserve them. They are gifts that you are unworthy of, right? It's not that you've been such a good kid, I'm going to give you this gift. It's, I'm going to give you this gift because this is a picture of grace. And the reason we try to do that in hopefully subtle and effective ways is because joy becomes that much more profound when you understand that what you are delighting in or taking pleasure in is something that you don't even deserve. And yet it's rightly given to you. So I want us to close out tonight thinking about the joy of Christmas and where we can all find it. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn, the night Jesus was born. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered. They wondered at what the shepherds had told them. And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. One sentence that I want us to grasp tonight. One verse here, specifically verse 10. The angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy for all the people." This is where we find the joy not just of Christmas, but the joy of salvation that accompanies all who believe, who will find it in Jesus Christ. Good news, right? Good news. Now, what is the good news? Now, good news, we know, like we have this word gospel that means good news. We throw that around a lot, gospel this, gospel that. And we talk about Jesus being born, but let's be clear. The birth of Jesus Christ is not the good news. The incarnation is not the good news. God taking on flesh is not the good news. It's one piece of the puzzle that tells us what this good news is. Ultimately, we have to see that it involves the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But if I had to say what the good news is for everyone, the one, if we were going to boil it down and say, here's good news for you that will change your life, in fact, your eternity, it defines the cosmos. The good news is that God loves sinners. God loves sinners. He loves rebellious, wicked, wayward, faithless, unfaithful people like you and me. God loves sinners, right? We see this throughout Scripture, and it's not that it's like, oh, well, God is love, and I know this is a really popular idea, and Rob Bell is going to have his new Oprah show, and it's going to be awesome, and he'll talk about God's love, but we cannot talk about God's love as if it is some sort of nondescript, benevolent feeling that he has for the things that he made. Right, I don't know if you guys are on YouTube, but you can watch Jake and his brother set up this couch on YouTube now, and it was pretty awesome. Ben's rolling out these videos and he reviews these products, and it was pretty awesome, right? And it's not like, wow, you can see what you put together and go, that looks pretty good. I like it. It's not like that. It's not that kind of nondescript like feeling. To say that God loves the sinner means that he has true, deep, abiding, and eternal affection for real people who have not loved him back. And it means that he has loved us in such a way that we can see it and feel it and be changed by it. How has God loved us? His love is always clearly connected to the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Kids, this is it. This is the great gift. There is nothing more significant in your life that anyone can offer you than that God says, this is my son with whom I am well pleased, and he dies on the cross for your sins and your parents' sins, and everyone who believes in him has my abundant love. Romans 5:8, right? God shows his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for sinners. And through his death, we have many, many spiritual blessings. We have the forgiveness of sins. Right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 talks about our redemption being essentially the forgiveness of all of our crimes against God and one another. In Hebrews chapter 9, we're promised to have a clean conscience. Do you know what this means? It means that God is the only one who can deal with your guilt. Every religion, every philosophy either skirts the issue, they pretend that that there is no answer to the issue of guilt, or they try to address it in some way. But the one thing that every human being knows is that I am guilty for some things. There are certain things that I have done that are wicked, they are bad, they are immoral, they are unspiritual. We'll put different labels on it, but everybody in every religion, in every philosophy, in every worldview feels this sense of guiltiness, at least somewhere. And there is no answer for guilt. Try harder, do better, make amends. That doesn't change what you did. Your need for cleansing, your need for forgiveness. Our consciences, whether they are super sensitive or rather numb, our consciences bear witness against the fact that we are sinners. And what God does for us is he deals with our greatest problem, guilt. And not just the feeling of guilt, but the fact of guilt, that we stand before God condemned for what we have done. We have not loved or honored our parents the way that we should have. We have not put our wives or our husbands first instead of ourselves. We have not loved God above all other false gods. We have lied, we have stolen, we've done it all. And God loves us so much that he sends his son, not just to be born, but to live and die and raise again, so that we might be cleansed from all of this. You see, part of the good news is that there is a point, there is a calling, there is a purpose, there is a solution to the root problem of humanity, our corruption and our guilt, not just as we stand alone, but as we stand before the face of God. Now, this is the good news. There is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Great joy. Not just, listen, those who know Jesus can have great joy, exploding joy, not mere religious sentiment, not like the cool vibes that you get when the music crescendos and you hear something that really comes together and you're like, man, that was awesome. Not just when your hands go up, a few of us, our hands will go up sometimes, like, oh, I'm feeling it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real, deep, and abiding joy, right? That sense of taking delight in something else that is really good that you have received but do not deserve. Great joy, not just a little bit, but great joy. We're talking about deep satisfaction in God that meets all of our deepest needs and transcends our circumstances. Joy is not necessarily filling all of your circumstances, but it fills you in the midst of your circumstances, because the one thing that God has given you is the one thing that your circumstances, not the world, not the devil, not your enemies, can take away from you. Jesus is born, and the angels say this is good news of great joy for all the people, for everyone. It's wide open. This is good news that everyone should rejoice in. For all people who are willing to believe it, to receive it. For as many as received Jesus, John tells us, for as many as received him, God called them his children, the children of God who are born of God, born of his spirit, born of his power. Good news of great joy for all the people, from the moral people and the immoral people, for the well-to-do and the down and out. It's for the people whose lives have come together just as they planned, and it's for those whose lives are falling apart and they feel like everything is out of control. It's for the people who think that they are worth nothing and only deserve the misery that they experience. And it's for those people who are grateful for every good thing that they have in their life. It's for people who have not believed in God, who have not put him first. It is open to everyone, the religious and the irreligious. It's offered to everyone, but we must look to Jesus and see in him the answer to life. In him is the only means by which my sin can be cleansed, my guilt can be taken away, my conscience can be set free. You see an angel and what? We would freak out. We would not know what to do in the face of a supernatural being with blinding light, right? We would fall down, run out of the house. We would freak out. And so the angel's job, all he wants to do is calm these shepherds down in the midst of this wild experience. He says, you need to know this, that what's happening tonight is good news, great joy for everyone, including you lowly shepherds, if you will believe. Now, Christmas is to be a time filled with real and significant joy, not because it's falling in December, not because it's a holiday that's nationally recognized, but because it's one more opportunity for us to look and draw near to Jesus. In other words, every day should be a day filled with this kind of joy, true, eternal, and lasting joy. And it's a joy for all the people, not just for individuals. You can't really experience the fullness of the joy of the Lord out there on your own. You will find it in abundance among other people that have come to embrace this Savior. So as we're worshiping tonight, as we're going home and gathering with friends or family, as we're spending tomorrow doing whatever it is you guys do on Christmas Day. Let's make sure that in all of the gift giving, in all of the celebration, that we are constantly reminding one another, not just ourselves, but one another, of the grace of God in giving us the greatest gift that could ever be offered or received, that of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we hear the good news of salvation from all of our sins, from death and from hell, life that we have with Him and each other for all eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we don't know enough of Your Word. We don't know enough about You. And God, in spanning into eternity, Lord, with our immortal souls, we will never know enough of You, for You are infinite, infinitely holy, just, and good, and infinitely loving. God, we marvel at Your grace to us. God, would You help us to be a people who see the glory of Jesus, and that in the light of Him, everything else in this world pales in comparison. Help us to see that in Him, God, that if we have Your Son, that we have everything that we need for life and godliness, and we can actually find true spiritual contentment and satisfaction in Him to accompany joy that is more profound than we can ever articulate. Lord, lead us tonight in singing, in praying, in worshiping You, and in enjoying You and all of the good gifts that You give us in this life and in the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen.